Those Deep Places by Exfil Fikrex, otherwise known as Kate Andrews, read by Rhea314. Ever since the funeral pyre, Merlin has remained unsettlingly quiet. Arthur rides a little behind him, keeping an eye on him and the girls and allowing Merlin his grief. While Arthur forgives him for being understandably sad over his friend's death, there is something about Merlin's silence that bothers Arthur. Bothers him in a deep place, one he prefers to ignore, and it isn't until they make for camp, deep in the woods, that Arthur finally names the bothersome feeling. It is an unfamiliar feeling, but there it is, and once Arthur finds its name, he cannot unname it. Arthur is jealous. It's ridiculous, really. There is no way Prince Arthur Pendragon should feel jealous over some dead peasant ex-best friend, dead sorcerer peasant ex-best friend, of his manservant. Because Arthur Pendragon possesses everything he could ever want, and he has Merlin back. But it's a strangely subdued Merlin, one whose slumped shoulders and sad little sighs stir up something in Arthur that feels very close to anger, even closer to want. But everything is put right again. He got what he set out to get. What else is it he wants? As Arthur watches Merlin spread his bedroll before the blazing fire, he doesn't know what it is he wants. And that eats at him, a cold, low thing in his belly. When Merlin finally settles by the fire, Arthur stays up for a while, watching over him, and the blankets that cover both the girls. Another part of him, even deeper than the rest, and Lord, sometimes Arthur gets tired of the holes inside him and the things that lurk there, is very, very aware that something big is changing, and that very soon, he and Merlin, they, will be whatever is next. But tonight at least, before they return to their home, they can be whatever they are now for a little while longer. And for all his earned grief, one thing Merlin is not is alone. Arthur knows this to be true, he just doesn't know how to tell Merlin. By the time Arthur finally spreads his bedroll by Merlin's, Morgana's snoring is just barely audible above the crackle of the fire. Arthur may prefer a prince-worthy bed, but he's a good soldier and he can sleep on hard ground. He drifts off for a bit, but when he wakes up, he's shivering and the moon is bright and high. Merlin is very still and steady-breathed, but Arthur knows he's not asleep. He watches the back of Merlin's head for 100 breaths. On the 101st, he asks in a barely voiced whisper, "Are you cold?" Merlin holds his breath long enough that it's obvious he's awake and listening. Then he asks, "Are you?" "I asked you first," Arthur says. "Why?" "Are you cold, Merlin?" Merlin turns to face him, and it's obvious from his red eyes that he spent time tonight crying. "I'll be fine." "I'm cold," Arthur says. Merlin swallows hard, lips pressed together. God, he's too easy to read. Arthur must be mad to think Merlin's got secrets. "I'm cold, and you're shivering." "I'm not," Merlin says, and that's the truth. It's Arthur whose teeth are chattering. Merlin, with no meat on his bones at all, looks so warm he nearly glows. Then again, he's near the fire. "Well, I am," Arthur says, fully aware of the petulance in his tone. Merlin gives a long-suffering sigh. "You should get closer to the fire, then." Arthur doesn't say a word, just gets up on his knees and drags his bedroll closer to Merlin's, right up beside it, in fact, so the edge overlaps. Merlin seems to be awaiting the punchline. "I can move, you know." "Did I ask you to move?" "No." Arthur settles down on his back and stares up through the trees at the stars, trying to think of something nice to say. "I'm sorry about your friend." Merlin takes long enough to answer that Arthur thinks he's perhaps fallen asleep. Then, finally under his breath, "No, you're not." "Excuse me?" Merlin rolls onto his back. "You're not sorry about him. The only good sorcerer is a dead sorcerer."
"I never said that."
Merlin tilts his head toward Arthur. "You believe it." He holds Arthur's gaze. Arthur's whole body shivers. Heat radiates from the fire behind Merlin, but it feels as though it comes from Merlin himself. "Your friend saved my life." "That wouldn't matter to your father."
"I am not my father, Merlin."
Merlin stares at him for a long time. "You lost a friend, and that matters to you, so it matters to me." Merlin's thoughts are plain on his face. "It shouldn't. You're a prince and I'm a... my servant." "No, I'm not.
Excuse me, yes you are. I quit, remember?
I remember. Arthur remembers feeling physical pain deep in his chest. He remembers fighting to keep his voice level and watching Merlin walk away and having to grip the stone to keep from chasing after him and ordering him not to go. You're not going to make me go through the trouble of finding another servant, are you? Merlin stares up at the nearly full moon and doesn't answer.
If you were my servant, I'd order you to give me your blanket.
If I were your servant, you'd just take it. Merlin sounds distracted and his heart isn't in the banter. Arthur gets up on one elbow and tugs Merlin's blanket off him.
Hey!
Arthur ignores the sputtering and spreads Merlin's blanket atop his own.
Give that back!
Arthur folds his hands behind his head and smiles. Merlin scowls and rolls to face the fire back to Arthur.
Don't be like that, Arthur says.
Merlin hugs himself tighter. Arthur sighs and lifts the edge of the blanket. Precious warmth escapes as Merlin doesn't move.
Come on.
I'm fine.
You'll freeze.
I'm not as delicate as some people.
I'm ordering you to come here.
And I'm ignoring you because I'm not your servant.
Arthur frowns, then settles on the most expedient course of action. He scoots closer until his knees nestle in the backs of Merlin's and his chest presses against Merlin's hot back. He lets the blanket settle over the two of them and nearly groans from all the warmth. He wraps an arm around Merlin and manages barely to keep from pressing his cold nose to Merlin's head.
You're like a furnace. How is that even possible?
Merlin's whole body stiffens.
I'm closer to the fire, that's all. We can switch places if you want.
Relax.
I am relaxed.
You're not. I can feel you.
I'm relaxed, Merlin says, voice tight. Arthur digs a few fingers into Merlin's side. After a moment, Merlin says,
What are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing? I'm trying to tickle you, of course. He tries a little higher and feels Merlin's stomach tense up, and Merlin's body somehow grows more rigid. Now he's getting somewhere. He tries again. Merlin's hot fingers clamp around Arthur's wrist.
I'm not ticklish.
I don't believe you.
Please, Merlin says, sounding sad again, stop that.
He squeezes Arthur's wrist, then sets it down.
Oh, all right.
Merlin draws his arms back up, crosses them over his chest. Arthur sighs.
I don't like it when you're sad.
Then why don't you just order me to stop? Merlin says with an edge.
I would if I thought it would work.
Well, it doesn't.
I know.
He was a good man.
Is he why you left your village?
Merlin's heart pounds. Arthur can feel it against his chest. Almost too quiet to hear, Merlin says, Yes.
Were you afraid of his magic?
I loved him. I knew that he would never hurt me.
Magic isn't...
Arthur.
What?
I don't want to talk about this. None of it matters now. He's gone.
He saved your village.
He saved my life.
I said I don't want to talk about him.
It gets better, you know, losing someone you love.
I'm sure it does, Merlin says, but he doesn't sound sure. When he sighs, his back presses against Arthur's chest.
Arthur leans into it.
How on earth are you so warm? You're all skin and bones and ears.
Maybe I'm a sorcerer, Merlin quips.
If you were a sorcerer.
Later, much later, Arthur will wonder why his mind chose that precise moment to put it all together. Why the denial and willful ignorance chose then to abandon him, but it did. And at that moment he finally knew, not suspected, but knew, that Merlin's quip was the truth. The realization was so massive, Arthur actually flinches.
I'm joking, Merlin says, sounding irritated.
You shouldn't joke about that, Arthur whispers.
Right, because if I was a sorcerer, you'd have me killed, and you have to go through the trouble of finding another servant.
If you were a sorcerer.
But Arthur can't finish the sentence, because he's too busy going over the many unexplained things that have happened since Merlin entered his life, things that can all be explained by this one undeniable fact.
Merlin twists to look at Arthur, knees locking into his legs. Merlin looks annoyed as he studies Arthur's face, then his eyes go wide and he looks terrified. He starts to sit up.
Arthur grabs his slim wrist and pulls him back down to the ground. Merlin tries to get away, but Arthur pins him easily.
Somewhere in the brief struggle, Arthur ends on top of Merlin.
knees on either side of his thighs, hands clamped around his upper arms, arms that don't feel nearly as skinny as they look. Merlin says very carefully, "You're hurting me." Arthur knows that he should feel betrayed. He should feel scared and angry and disgusted, but he feels none of this. He hasn't got a name for what curls inside him right now, but it's big and growing bigger by the second. "Sire, please." Arthur releases Merlin's arms and plants his hand on the rocky earth on either side of Merlin's shoulders. Then he lowers his forehead to Merlin's chest. This thing inside him threatens to split his skin and consume him, and he tries to fear it, but finds that he can't. He can feel Merlin's steady heartbeat, and he would swear it pounds in time with his own. "What are you doing?" "I'm trying to decide what to do next." "I... Don't say another word." "I'm sorry." "I said stop talking." "I am sorry, I wanted to..." Arthur doesn't know what comes over him in that second, but it's desperate and scared and absolutely unstoppable. It's so sudden that he barely realizes what he's doing until his mouth is pressed to Merlin's warm lips. Merlin gasps, revealing the heat inside of his mouth, so Arthur opens his own. They stay like that for several seconds, perfectly still except for Merlin's rapid, shallow breaths. Then Arthur lifts his head. Merlin turns his face away and licks his lips. Now he looks less afraid than confused. He looks weak. But Arthur knows, in another one of those deep places, that that is far from true. "How powerful are you?" Arthur asks. Merlin swallows hard. "I don't know." "I don't believe you." Merlin stares into the fire, reflected flames turning his eyes orange. After several moments, his brows draw down together and his eyes narrow. "You just kissed me." "Don't change the subject." "Why did you kiss me?" "I don't know," Arthur says, and that's the truth, kind of. "I don't believe you," Merlin whispers. He meets Arthur's gaze finally. He doesn't look weak anymore, and he doesn't look confused. Then Arthur gasps because Merlin presses his knee up between Arthur's legs, against where Arthur is beginning to grow stiff. Arthur asks, "Did you send me those dreams?" "No, what dreams?" "I dream about you, sometimes." "What sort of dreams?" Merlin's voice is rough and eager. Arthur presses his hips against Merlin's and discovers Merlin's prick is as hard as his own. Merlin shuts his eyes tightly and lifts his hips, and Arthur begs, "Tell me I can trust you. I would give my life for you." "That I already knew," Arthur says, grinding his cock against Merlin, watching his lips part. "I would never hurt you." "But you could," Arthur whispers into his ear. "You're powerful, aren't you?" Merlin nods and rocks up against him. "How powerful." Merlin doesn't even move his lips. He just opens his eyes, revealing a rich, glowing gold. Then Arthur feels hot all over. He feels Merlin all over him, bathing him with heat. Then he feels his trousers undoing themselves and sliding down his hips, even though both Merlin's hands are curling against Arthur's chest. Then Merlin's flesh is bare beneath his, and Arthur stops thinking entirely. He nudges Merlin's legs apart and kneels between them. And when his stiff prick brushes against Merlin's, Merlin shudders and bites his lip. Arthur kisses his neck and hears a choked whimper, feels Merlin's hips buck, feels Merlin's prick rub against his own as he grinds down against it. Oh God, oh. Then Merlin looks like he's trying to cram his fist into his mouth. No, he's biting his knuckles. Then his cock is pulsing wetness all over Arthur's stomach. Arthur watches, transfixed. And when Merlin finally stops coming, Arthur reaches between them. Merlin's still breathing heavily, belly heaving, and when Arthur's slick fingers brush his cock and balls, he twitches. Arthur is single-minded with want, and the way Merlin moans when Arthur explores further, stroking his tight hole, that noise nearly does Arthur in, as does the way Merlin spreads his legs. Arthur scoops up cum from Merlin's belly and rubs it against his hole. "Please," Merlin gasps. "Please what?" Arthur asks, twisting one fingertip in and feeling Merlin clench for a moment, then yield. "I want." "What do you want?" Arthur rubs his cock against Merlin's belly. "Tell me."
"You!"
Arthur gathers the slick seed and spreads it down his prick. Merlin's knees slide up on either side of Arthur's hips, and as Arthur tries to work two slick fingers inside of Merlin, Merlin clutches at Arthur's hips with both hands. Please, he begs.
I don't want to hurt you, Arthur says.
I don't care. Arthur thrusts his fingers deep till his palm is cradling Merlin's balls, and Merlin moans loudly enough that Arthur kisses him to muffle it. Merlin tugs against Arthur's ass, thrusting his hips up and his prick hard again, or still, against Arthur's skin. Arthur gives in and guides his cock to where his fingers are buried. When he withdraws them, Merlin gasps against his mouth, drawing breath from his lungs, and Arthur exhales into him as he pushes against that slick opening. Merlin's legs wrap around Arthur's hips and he whimpers, but when Arthur lifts his head, he sees pleasure, not pain, on Merlin's face. He reaches between them, but an invisible force grips his hand and guides it to Merlin's cock, the other to the blanket beside his head. As Arthur strokes, Merlin mumbles something incoherent, and suddenly a new, thicker slickness coats Arthur's cock. Arthur smells the soft, medicinal scent of one of Gaius's thick, greasy salves, and he thrusts experimentally. Merlin is so bloody tight, but Arthur's cock is so slick now the head slips right in. Merlin's eyes go very wide, and as Arthur sinks into him inch by inch, they lock gazes. Arthur cannot look away. Merlin squeezes as Arthur withdraws, and Arthur shudders under the weight of overwhelming pleasure. He loses control and thrusts again, and Merlin cries out. Arthur covers Merlin's mouth, feels his teeth sink in and his hips thrust up, and Merlin's biting so hard he's liable to draw blood, but Arthur is so, so far beyond caring. He pitches forward, driving into Merlin over and over, dimly aware that their clothes are all gone now, and their sweat-coated chests slide with each thrust so perfect, so fucking impossibly perfect. I'm yours, Arthur says. Merlin shakes beneath him and clenches around Arthur's prick so tightly it hurts. Then his teeth break the skin on Arthur's hand and Arthur stops mid-thrust. He uncovers Merlin's mouth and finds it scarlet from his own blood. Merlin looks so scared. I don't want to hurt you. I never wanted to. One sharp thrust silences him. The next makes him moan and dig his nails into Arthur's back. Arthur feels the inevitable gathering deep inside him, and he brings his mouth to Merlin's wet red lips. He tastes himself, then says against Merlin, punctuating each word with a brutal thrust, I am always, always yours. Merlin's choked gasp is followed by a full-body shudder. Then he's coming between their bellies, and Arthur joins him, and while it lasts, it's so bright and hot he just might burn alive, and he doesn't care. Always, Arthur whispers, against his cold bedroll. He is fully clothed, alone, and drenched in sweat. His eyes fly open. He doesn't have time to feel embarrassed that he just spent in his pants, like a boy, because on the bedroll, a few feet from him, Merlin is gasping just as hard. Arthur sits up and gives Merlin a bewildered look, which Merlin returns. Arthur's voice is very low and very calm as he asks, What the hell was that? Merlin shakes his head, but his eyes are filling up with tears. Answer me right now. Merlin whispers, I'm sorry. Then he's on his feet and tearing off into the pre-dawn woods. After a few stunned moments, Arthur chases after him, and it takes just half a minute to catch up. He grabs Merlin around the waist and drags him to a huge old tree, so thick three men couldn't span it with their arms outstretched. Merlin stumbles over a root, but Arthur catches the front of his shirt, ripping the rough, threadbare cloth, and pushes him back against the bark before he has a chance to fall. Merlin looks terrified and humiliated, but mostly terrified. Behind him, the whole tree starts to tremble. Above them, the limbs rattle as if in a storm. Stop it, Arthur says, but the tree just shakes harder. The ground beneath their feet trembles, and all around them, the early morning songs of birds go silent. Stop this now, he shouts. The earth quakes so hard, Arthur has to brace himself to keep from falling. Merlin, please! But Merlin's got his eyes squeezed shut, and he's shaking his head. Arthur does the only thing he can think of and prays it won't be the death of him. He slaps Merlin across the face as hard as he can. The world stops shaking. Merlin clutches his cheek and leaves his face turned away where the blow knocked it. His cheeks are wet and his nose is running. Merlin, Arthur says gently, Merlin, are you all right? I'm fine, Merlin whispers. Look at me. Merlin shakes his head. Arthur lays his hand on Merlin's cheek. Over his still trembling fingers and says, Please? When Merlin finally looks at him, his eyes are a luminescent gold. Arthur gasps, but he doesn't look away, and Merlin asks softly, What are you going to do?
Arthur peels Merlin's hand from his cheek and touches the flushed handprint. Slowly, Merlin's eyes fade back to normal, except for how they're wet and rimmed in red. Tell me what you want me to do. Merlin looks confused. Should we pretend this never happened? Tell me this was all a dream and I'll never mention it again, I promise. After a long time, long enough that the birds have begun to sing again, Merlin simply asks, why? Because I don't want to lose you. Merlin blinks. Because I think I've known about you for a while. Merlin blinks several times. Because, Arthur says, not caring that his voice breaks. I need you. Well, you've got that right, at least. Arthur narrows his eyes. Merlin laughs nervously. What if I tell you the truth? Arthur exhales. What would you do then? Arthur feels that powerful, wonderful, terrifying something rise up inside of him, and it bursts out of him as huge, loud laughter. It grips him so hard he bends over the waist and just lets it overtake him. He welcomes it and laughs until his stomach hurts. When Arthur finally stops and wipes the tears from his eyes, Merlin looks like he's afraid Arthur has lost his mind, which is entirely possible. Still chuckling, Arthur uses his sleeve to wipe the snot off Merlin's beautiful, bewildered face. Arthur? Merlin asks tentatively. Yes. What happens next? Arthur smiles, then he leans in and answers Merlin with a kiss. The end. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for the author. You can do that at her LiveJournal.